I'm going to talk to you about immigration and the body of Christ. Of course, immigration being a giant political issue here in the United States, but not only the United States, but the world. But before that, let's go back to the Republican primaries back in 2016 when Ted Cruz was in the mix. If you remember, I thought Ted Cruz looked like an attractive candidate for the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying that the Antichrist has to be a U.S. president, but I'm just thinking here. Because I know that, based on Daniel chapter 7 and the interpretation of those four beasts as four religious entities, not four political blocks, I know that the westernmost beast will be the one that stamps under its feet the other beast. So it's going to be a Western religion, therefore it will be Christianity. Christianity is the westernmost religion of the four religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity. So here comes Ted Cruz, and I thought, well, this looks tasty in a bad way, because Cruz would impose Christianity in various subtle ways, I believe, on the rest of the world, or at least the United States. He would be very overt about his religious beliefs. And there's a term for that Christians want to take over politics using the Ten Commandments. I just can't think of it now. Good, because it's hideous. So I thought he would impose it. Little did I realize that the method to cause religious fervor of people to come to the fore would not be the imposition of religion, but the getting out of the way, here comes Trump again, to allow people to become what they already are. That's the revelation here, to allow people to become what they already are, which is religious. They want to join the most popular religion in their culture. And in the West, that's Christianity. They just want to belong. They want to join. They don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be ruffled. They heap up teachers in accord with their own desires. Now, how different is this from Obama? Now, Obama wanted to squash and quash and quell and destroy religions, especially Christianity, because we know, if you don't know this, I'm sorry, Obama is a Muslim sympathizer, if not Muslim himself, and he weaponized the IRS. He also weaponized the FBI, but that's another topic. Talked about that a little bit yesterday. He weaponized the IRS to not grant tax-free exempt status to certain religious and Tea Party, that is, political organizations that would lean right and therefore lean Christian. For some reason, I think I know the reason, but I don't want to get into that now. I got to talk about immigration. For some reason, the conservative end of the political spectrum attracts Christians. Maybe more on that later. I have some thoughts about it. And the liberal, the left side of the political spectrum attracts atheists. Don't want to get into that now. So Obama wanted to get rid of religions that he didn't like, namely Christianity. Cruz would have imposed Christianity. Here's the bottom. Here's the thing. Cruz would have, in his own way, imposed Christianity. Obama would have outlawed it to extremes. Trump allows it. Again, Trump gets out of the way and lets people be what they want to be anyway, which is Christian. This is organic, it's smooth, it's natural, and it has the same result in that religion comes to the forefront. In fact, the Cruz method of imposing it would turn people off. Well, I was going to become a Christian, but since this weird-looking dude, Ted Cruz, says that I ought to be a Christian, then I'm going to run from it. That's what people do. And same thing the other way. Same thing with Obama saying, I'm getting rid of Christianity. We're going to get rid of it. Going to impose, going to penalize anybody that wants to be a Christian. Going to do it right now. I'm going to use the IRS. No. no Yogi Bear, that's not going to work either, because people will rebel against that. Because either way, it's an imposition in its own way. It's being imposed nicely or imposed deviously. Trump just gets out of the way, and that's a beautiful thing, because now people can flourish to be what they are anyway, which is religious. Okay. Oh, I keep spitting in here. Okay, so we get to immigration. This is a very, I'm going to make this very simple for you. This is, because I have to understand, I'm not making it simple for you because I think you're dumb. I'm making it simple to you because I had to reduce what could be a complicated issue to a simplicity for myself to understand it. A country in the world is like a house in a neighborhood. Your house is its own sovereign entity. It's your home. You do not let people into it without knowing them, without finding out about them, without in some way befriending them. And when people come into your house, it is generally assumed that they will abide by the rules of your home. A country is like a home. I'll take the United States as an example. That's where I live. We have a nation, and we do things a certain way here, and we run our nation as we would like it. We don't run our nation the way Greece runs its nation, the way Russia runs its nation, or the way Haiti or North Korea run their nations, just like a house. You can live in a neighborhood, and you maybe at your house, you watch old movies all the time. Your next door neighbor might be watching all the latest reality shows. Your house hates reality shows. You may be worshiping, you may be a Catholic at your house, let's say, and you have an altar, and you have a statue of Mary. Your neighbor might be Muslim, and he's on his prayer rug three times a day facing Mecca. But so what? It doesn't matter. You're somehow still in the same neighborhood. And the neighborhood, in this brilliant analogy, equals the world. As Trump said at the World Economic Forum, he says, America first, but not America alone. He's going to work with other nations who want to deal with the United States. So in a neighborhood, you may have your little neighborhood barbecues, you may have your neighborhood meetings, you may have your neighborhood committee, and everybody gets along great. But when you go to your house and close your doors, that's your world. You may go to bed at 9 p.m. Your neighbor stays up till 2 a.m. So what? Same with a country. A country is sovereign. A country is a home. And anyone that comes into the country should assimilate, that is, become like the country it's entering. Now, for instance, who among you would let someone in your home that you didn't even know? Somebody knocks on your door, let's say. Do you have a moral obligation to invite that person in, no matter who they are? That's why we have peepholes in doors. That's why you open the door a little bit and you have a little chain that's like, yes, can I help you? You want to find out who they are. You have no idea who they are. Do you have a moral obligation to accept anyone into your home? Then why do we as a country have a moral obligation to accept anyone into our country? Did you know that the United States had no immigration from 1921 to 1965? No immigration. We didn't let anybody come into our house, either legally or illegally. I mean, not even legally. Many people don't know that. Why? Because we had such an influx of immigrants from the late 1800s in the early 1900s. You know, the old Ellis Island thing, Miss Liberty holding her flame before the open, the golden door. Yes, we had the golden door. We let so many people in that we had to give them time to assimilate. And so for over 40 years, there was no immigration in the U.S. because we don't have to let anybody in if we don't want to, just like your house. So let's say you do let somebody into your house, let's say, a guest. Now, let's say your children go to bed at 9 p.m. That's your guidelines for your children. But your guest says no. I don't want your children to go to bed at 9. I want them to go to bed at 2 a.m. And I know that you're used to feeding your children oatmeal in the morning. No, from now on, they're going to eat black licorice and chocolate cake. And you'd say, wow, okay, if I don't let you run my house the way you think, then I don't want you to think I'm mean. I don't want you to think I'm not very understanding. If you insist we watch Dancing with the Stars when really we want to watch John Wayne reruns, I guess we have to do it because you're in my home now. That's insane. That's ridiculous. And here's something even more insane. Let's say somebody breaks in your home, comes in the window during the night, and you come downstairs in the morning and there's a strange person on the sofa. I used to read a Dr. Seuss book to my kids. It was called There's a Wocket in My Pocket. And the book had all these strange creatures that ended up certain strange places. And one of the creatures was a bofa. It was found on the sofa. There's a bofa on my sofa. There was a toothbrush on my toothbrush. There was a nape behind the drape. There was a wocket in the socket. No, there's a wocket in my pocket. All strange things. But imagine coming downstairs, there's a bofa on your sofa. You don't know how he got there. That's a violation of your sovereign home. God forbid, if you're a white person and you come home and in the morning and there's a black person on your sofa who broke in your window during the night and he's holding a gun. Well, you say, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't ask him to leave because I didn't want to come across as racist. It has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with the man's black. He could be Hispanic. He could be yellow. Could be orange. Could be a bofa. Could be a wocket. Could be a nape behind the drape. Could be a toothbrush. It doesn't matter. Get the hell. What are you doing in my house? It's a violation of your sovereignty. It's the same with the country. Now, where does this apply? How does this apply to the body of Christ? Like this. We think that the body of Christ, because it's a message of grace, therefore it has no walls. Because it's a message of grace, therefore it's a message of nice. I hear this all the time. It's ridiculous. It's as ridiculous as this immigration argument that we have a moral obligation to accept anyone that wants to come in. We have to let them in. We just have to, because if we don't, we're going to be seen as racist, or we're going to be seen as Islamophobic. And especially if they're Islamicists, or if they're really bad people, we can't look like we're mean, and so we let them in no matter what. We're indiscriminate. Do you do that with your home? Are you indiscriminate? Well, he knocked on my door. What could I do? Yeah, he came in there and shot your family, but he knocked on my door. What could I do? I didn't want to appear to be impolite, inhospitable. Oh my goodness. That's insane. I want your children to get up at 2, to go to bed at 2 a.m. Well, okay, I guess they have to. Ridiculous. So the body of Christ, listen, your home has walls. The country has walls. And Donald Trump, God bless him, wants to put a wall on our southern border because people keep breaking into our windows. A bunch of bofas keep showing up on our sofas. And nobody asked them to come in. And a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them are criminals, and they're killing our citizens. And our government, I think it's in a whole other thing, wants to accept them, not the liberal government, the Democrats, because they're not concerned about the safety of our people, about the well-being of legal citizens. They just want a permanent underclass so that they will always vote for Santa Claus, people who will give them stuff free. Anyway, that's a little bit of a distraction there. But the body of Christ and our country and our homes has walls. The body of Christ has walls. The doctrine, the teaching that underlies the body of Christ has necessary walls. And Paul talks about this in Galatians. And yes, I'm going to get back to Galatians. It has demarcations. It has teachings that belong to it. And if you inject any foreign teachings, if any bofa shows up on the Paul's gospel sofa, you must throw that bofa out. What are you doing on my sofa? Get the hell out of here. You're a bofa. You don't belong here. This is for my children, this is for my wife, this is for my husband. We don't even know who you are or what you are. Paul says that if anyone brings you any gospel other than the one we brought you, let him be anathema. Anathema, dedicated to destruction. Paul did not tolerate any bofas on the sofa of the evangel. And yet he's marveling, again in verse 6, chapter 1 of Galatians, that they're swiftly transferred from that which calls them in the grace of Christ to a different evangel. That's because these idiots in Galatia thought that grace equaled nice. They thought that grace equaled accept anything. And so they were quickly transferred because they were willing to entertain any foreign element because they didn't want to be seen to be discriminatory. They didn't want to be seen to be mean or ungracious. And yet, just because this is an evangel of grace, don't get the idea that it's an unwalled evangel. It's not. It's protected. And Paul is astounded because people are coming in distorting the evangel of Christ. But he says in verse 8, if ever we also, or a messenger out of heaven, should be bringing an evangel to you beside that which we bring to you, let him be anathema. As we have declared before and at present, I am saying again, if anyone is bringing you an evangel beside that which you accepted, let him be anathema. Cursed be you. Throw him out of your house. Take a look through the peephole. Find out they're bringing something different. They're watering down this well-walled evangel. Get rid of them. Don't even let them in your house. Don't entertain them for a second. Paul said he didn't put up with these people for an hour. Didn't put up with them. Got rid of them. I might say this for you personally. I hope this helps someone. I've just detailed why the evangel has walls, after I detailed why your home has walls, after I detailed why the country, any country, should have its own walls and be able to do things its own way. And if people want to come here, let them apply, let them knock on the door, we'll look through the peephole, we'll ask who you are, and then you follow the rules of our house. You must assimilate. Otherwise, we lose all identity as a country, just like your home would lose all its identity. You go from watching John Wayne movies to watching Dancing with the Stars, apart from your will. Suddenly, you don't have a home at all. It doesn't have your personality on it. It doesn't have your purpose on it. It doesn't have your goals for it on it. Now, personally, you also need walls, ladies and gentlemen. And may I give this to you at the end of this video in hopes to protect you. You have to have walls on your own life. People everywhere will try to take advantage of you. They will impose themselves on you. They will ask you to do ridiculous things. And you should consider everything, but you must filter it through the sieve of your own world, of what you're comfortable with, of what you feel right about. Don't let anyone walk all over you. Don't become a doormat. Where do we get that term, a doormat? When somebody becomes a doormat, they're like, whatever. They're a blank slate. They have no purpose in their own life, and they present themselves as open borders, open doors. There's no vetting here. There's no looking through the people. It's just whatever. And then they're resentful against the people who take advantage of them. But it's your own fault. How can you be resentful when you let people in? So if we let people into the evangel and they start bringing in laws and they start bringing in rules and we get all mad, it's our own stupid fault. If as a country we have illegals coming in, breaking through the window at night, sitting on the sofa and they start killing us, we get mad, it's our own stupid fault. We must protect our sovereignty. I want you to protect your personal sovereignty. I want you to protect the evangel of grace because it does have walls. Obviously, I want you to protect your loved ones and your home. And I also want you to protect your country,